Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I wanted to talk to you today about angels. You know, people put a lot of emphasis on how God uses his angels. One problem is that people want to worship angels for some reason, and that's a no-no. We're not supposed to do that. Angels are God's messengers and our servants, just like we're supposed to be servants. Angels are not to be worshiped. In fact, we have been created a little lower than the angels, but we will judge them during the millennium. In 1 Corinthians 6:3, it says, "Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life?" So we've been created a little lower than the angels, but we will rise above the angels. With that in mind, let's see how God uses angels. We know how he used angels to announce the coming of his son the first time, and we'll go over that in a little while, but he also uses angels to protect his people. In Genesis chapter 19, angels were sent to save Lot, his wife, and his girls from the angry gay mob. Mind you, the angels had their work cut out for them in trying to get Lot and his family out of Sodom. But finally they did it, except the wife turned around, looked back, and became a pillar of salt. As you read on, you see they were there to take Lot and his family out of the city before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Judgment was just about to be unleashed and sweep down upon those cities, and Lot was arguing with the angels about which way to escape. The angels protected Lot from a very dangerous situation. You know, we have no idea how God often uses angels to protect us from harm. God must have sent angels to protect me in this last wreck I was in. I was injured, but many people have died in much lesser accidents with semi-trucks. I was thrown against the dashboard and the front of the car, and when I got to the hospital, was told that my right leg was now 3 inches shorter than my left leg. I was flown by helicopter from Sholo to Chandler, Arizona, and underwent 5.5 hours of intensive surgery, and now I am well on the mend, and both legs are the same length. I had a wonderfully skilled surgeon. God used his angels to protect me, and I think they were involved in making the decisions that got me to the right place. Years ago, I preached a revival in Zilla, Washington, when I was pastoring the Church of the Nazarene in Pullman, Washington. This was during that gas crisis in the 70s when there was supposed to be a gas shortage and all the service stations were closed at night. And you just, if you got gas, you had to line up in long lines and wait and everything. It was really a mess. It was necessary that after the revival services that I get home on Sunday evening to meet some obligations I had on Monday. I'd hoped to find an open filling station on the way home because there were truck stops and stuff along the way, but there were no stations open. There was no way I could get gas. I was kind of panicky. I was just over halfway home and my gas gauge pegged empty. Now what do I do? You know, here I am out in the middle of nowhere, and what if I run out of gas? The car kept on traveling until I reached Pullman. It stopped at the bottom of the hill where I lived, and I knew that I could walk home from there, but a policeman came by and drove me to my home. I've always felt that an angel pushed my car until I was nearly home. Julie and the kids were on their way home from the park when it happened. Ben was only about 5 years old and happily walking and running ahead on the edge of the road. And there was no footpath beside the road, but he was still on the grassy area. Then he must have seen their house on the other side of the road and headed towards it, edging onto the road just as a car roared up from behind him. Julie screamed for him to stop, but there was not enough time. Julie does not understand how it happened. He should have been run over. It looked to her as if Ben was picked up and thrown out of harm's way onto the grass, as she believes a guardian angel protected him. So I ask you, do you believe in angels? Do you believe they exist? I do, because the Bible says there are angels, and I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Actually, angels are mentioned either directly or indirectly 300 times in the Bible. Millions of angels are at God's command and at our service, ready to do God's will any moment of the day. His angels are on call at all times. Excuse me. They don't take vacations or sick days. They don't take holidays off. They never age and are always ready and available to carry out God's plans. God's angels are here to help us, and they're prepared for any emergency. Satan has no firepower that can match the heavy artillery of God. The Bible says that God created angels. See, once no angels existed. There was nothing but the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in Colossians 1:15 and 16, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Angels are part of the invisible things that God created, for everything was created through him and for him. The Bible says angels can change their appearance. They can travel instantly back and forth between heaven above and the earth below. Hebrews 1:14 says angels are ministering spirits. They don't have physical bodies, but they may take on the form of physical bodies when God assigns them special tasks and they have to manifest before us. God's given them no ability to reproduce, and according to Mark 12:25, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. John G. Patton felt called to be a missionary. He'd completed his education and training, and finally he and his wife Jenny moved to the New Hebrides Islands, where they lived the next year in a single-room hut. Both John Patton and his wife were concerned about the obstacles that they knew they would face on the islands. There would be disease and animals and fierce natives and who knows what else. But they knew God was in charge and they were where God wanted them to be. During their time on this remote mission field, they found many opportunities to teach the local tribes about Jesus Christ. But one tribe in particular was known for their fierce fighting. They grew more hostile towards the missionaries with each passing day. For weeks, they had threatened to attack and kill the Pattons because they had interfered with the ancient tribal traditions and taught their people a new strange faith. Soon, the hostile tribe decided to carry out their threats. They were going to kill the Pattons. Late in the evening of June 23rd, 1973, the Pattons sat and listened to war cries outside their hut growing louder and louder. They're coming for us, John, Jenny whispered. John nodded and said, Pray, Jenny. Talk to God. Keep praying. John prayed, Heavenly Father, you have commanded we come to you in time of need and ask for your intervention. We now ask you to protect us as you have so many times in the past. Please deliver us from the danger we're in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For an hour, the sounds continued. By the end of an hour, the Pattons could see torch lights surrounding their home. Fire, John whispered, holding Jenny tightly. Keep praying, Jenny. I think they're going to try to burn us out. 15 minutes passed. John and Jenny continued to pray for protection. Suddenly, the screaming began to lessen and grow more distant. The tribesmen were moving away from the Pattons' hut. Finally, the sounds disappeared. 3 months later, the Pattons had no idea why the natives hadn't killed them that terrifying night. then in danger, then in a strange turn of events, the chief of that tribe contacted the Pattons and asked questions about their mission work and about Jesus Christ. Shortly thereafter, the chief accepted Jesus as his Savior. John asked the chief, "Why didn't you kill us that night?" "Well, we tried," said the chief, "but your guards wouldn't let us pass." "What guards?" John asked. The chief waved his arm dramatically. "Hundreds of guards, big men in shiny clothes with swords drawn with torches, circled your hut. We had no choice, so we left." In the same way, God delivered Elisha and his helper from the armies of the king of Syria. God sent his angels to deliver John and Jenny Patton, just like he delivered Elisha and his helper. 2 Kings 6, the king of Syria dispatched his army to Dotham, having learned Elisha was there. Elisha's helper got up and looked all around and became terrified and cried to Elisha. The surrounding countryside was filled with many armies and the weapons of war. Elisha said, "Well, don't be afraid. Our army is bigger than theirs." Elisha could see God's army of angels already in place, ready to protect them. Elisha prayed for God to open the eyes of his helper so that he'd see the host of angels too that were there to protect him. And God answered the prayer. The servant's eyes were open and he could see horses and chariots of fire everywhere on the hills surrounding the city. In 845 BC, God sent angels to protect Elisha and his helper. In 1973, God sent angels to protect John and Jenny Patton. In the same way, God is ready to send a host of angels to protect each and every one of us, me and you included. Yes, I believe in angels. The Bible tells us story after story of angels involved in the work and the will of God. In Genesis 32, angels of God met Jacob on his way home, and Jacob declared, "This is God's army." In Daniel chapter 5, an angel appeared in the form of fingers of a man's hand and wrote on the wall God's message to King Belshazzar, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin, you have been weighed in the balances and been found wanting. Your kingdom is finished." That's a tremendous story. Turn to Daniel 5 and read it. God was finished with Belshazzar. His life was required of him that very night. In Daniel chapter 6, God sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions. Remember, God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Sent an angel or Jesus himself to come stand in the fire with them. As I mentioned before in Genesis 18, God used angels to bring judgment upon the wicked Sodom and Gomorrah. His angels were used to first deliver Lot and his family. Two angels visited Sodom to warn Lot to flee from the wrath of God that was about to come. The evil men of Sodom wanted to molest God's angels, and the angels blinded them to prevent them from carrying out their desires. Lot, Abraham's nephew, had drifted far away from God's holy standards and had found companionship and wealth in an unholy and sinful alliance. Lot had turned away from God, and yet God sent his angels to spare Lot's life and assist him in avoiding the consequences of his poor judgment. Part of the reason, or probably the main reason, is because Abraham had been praying mightily for his nephew. Man's nature has been to sin since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Doesn't that say some of us? It doesn't. It says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Luke 1 tells how the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, telling him that Elizabeth would have a son who'd be the forerunner of the Messiah. Gabriel appeared again to Mary with an important message for her and for all mankind. It found in Luke, he told her some of the most wonderful words written in the Bible, a special message from God to Mary. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his over the house of David forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Matthew chapter 1, an angel appeared to Joseph, assuring him that Mary was with child through God, not through another man. Luke chapter 2, God sent angels with news to the shepherds in the fields of nearby Bethlehem that the Messiah had been born. The angel said, Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. After Jesus died on the cross, his body was laid in the tomb. An angel rolled away the huge stone guarding the entrance to the tomb, setting in place the events surrounding the resurrection of our risen Savior. Acts chapter 12, Peter was bound in shackles in prison, awaiting to be executed. James, the brother of John, had already been martyred, and there was little reason to believe that Peter would escape the executioner. As Peter lay sleeping, an angel appeared in his prison cell, shook him awake, and said, "Prepare to escape." Peter's chains fell off, and he followed the angel out of the prison into safety. The doors were supernaturally opened for them to exit. So many times we read God's word and find he sent angels to minister to the needs of his servants. He will send his angels to meet your needs as well. Have you ever gone through a dark period when you prayed and you prayed and it seemed that no help had come? You felt like God had disappeared and you were all alone to face your trials and burdens. God's message for you is he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You've never been alone and you're not going to be alone. There are times when God withdraws to test our faith. He wants us to trust him in the darkness as well as in the light. Whether or not we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit or one of the holy angels, by faith we're certain that God will never leave us or forsake us, because that's what he has promised. Angels enjoy greater power than men, and they're used by God to do more things than minister to our needs. They're there to do God's will. Sometimes they must be avengers who use their power to carry out God's judgment. God has empowered angels to separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff, and one of them will one day blow the trumpet announcing impending judgment when God summons all nations to stand before him in the last great judgment. The Bible says it only took one angel to slay the firstborn of Egypt in Moses' day, that final judgment, when the angel of death flew over all the houses. The angel to shut, final judgment so that Moses and the people could escape Egypt. One angel was all it took to shut the lion's mouths for Daniel. In 2 Kings chapter 19, God used angels to execute his judgment. King Hezekiah had received a letter from the commander of the Assyrian forces, and he immediately sought God's counsel through Isaiah. God told Isaiah, "Tell the king not one Assyrian arrow would be fired into the city." He promised to defend Jerusalem for the sake of David. That night, just one of God's mighty angels struck the forces of the Assyrians that were camped outside Jerusalem, and the next morning, 185,000 soldiers lay dead. Greater still, the Bible promises that one angel will come from heaven one day with a great chain and bind Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. How great is the power of just one of God's mighty angels? And God has created millions of angels, and every Christian has their own personal guardian angel. I want to go into that sometime, but not right here. But be assured that God has got an angel guarding you too. Perhaps in Psalms 91:11 says, He will give His angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 in King James says, And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I can't even imagine what that's going to be, but I know that I'll be on hand to see it. Praise God. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. How can anyone not believe in angels? Another duty God assigned to angels will affect every Christian. When we face death, it's wonderful to know that God has commissioned angels to escort us to heaven and give us a royal welcome as we enter the eternal presence of God. Even as the angels escorted Lazarus in Luke when he died, so too we've assurance that when we're summoned by death unto life into the presence of Christ, God will send angels to escort us too. I can remember my grandmother telling me about how her granddad on his deathbed looked up and saw angels coming, and he got so excited. He said, they're coming for me. And it wasn't long until he died, but there were angels that escorted him into heaven. God has a purpose and a will for our lives. Although we don't have the power of angels, we actually have a more important role in God's plan of salvation. One last thought. Hollywood often gives us the idea that when we die, we become angels and watch over our loved ones left behind. That is a total lie out of hell. You will never be an angel, because you are a different creation than they are. You are created in the image of God. And so don't think that, you know, you've got some angel that's been one of your relatives before that's watching over you, or that you're going to become an angel, because you are not. Psalms 8, verses 4 through 6 in King James says, What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. You are more special than God's angels. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, King James again, But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put on all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. We must realize no angel can be an evangelist. No angel can pastor a church. Although angels watch over certain churches, no angel can do counseling. We're unique. The Bible calls us a royal priesthood, a peculiar, or meaning special people, a chosen generation. We have the privileges that even angels can't experience, because we can pray and God will answer our prayers. We can know we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. God has commanded Christians in the church to preach. This is the great task reserved for believers only, not angels. God uses no other means. Only man can, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, lead another person to salvation. Let's commit our lives to seek, to find, and to do God's will for what He has for our lives too. God, help us not to be lazy, but help us, Jesus, to realize we are special and that You love us so very much. Help us to love You more. Dear Father, I pray that You help each one listening to my voice today to realize that we are a special creation. We have been created in the image of God. We have things that the rest of the creation does not have, an ability to accept Christ as our Savior, to be able to one day rule with You in heaven. And I pray, God, for those who don't know You, that this will be the day they will call upon You in repentance, ask You to save them and to come into their lives, I pray, and become part of the family of God, adopted into Your kingdom. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, if you want to get in touch with me, you can get a hold of me through the mail, box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can text me at my phone number, 623-845-2741. Or use that same number to call and talk to me direct. And by the way, I will not be preaching this week at the First Baptist Church, but I'll pick up those chores again next Sunday, the 21st, whatever it is, a week from this Sunday. And then I will be back in harness doing all the things I've done before. And I praise God for that privilege. And I invite you to come to the First Baptist Church in Holbrook and become part of that fellowship. God bless. Talk to you next week.